But we'll get right back to you on that. So we're going to take a short musical break, and then we should have Sid Lacombe on the line with us from the Canadian Peace Alliance. Back at Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, and we should have Sid Lacombe from the Canadian Peace Alliance on the line with us. Sid, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, great. I can hear you, too, so it's working. Okay, good, good. First phone interview of the day. So we had just been discussing George Galloway, our federal government's ban on George Galloway, and the backtracking that might have been occurring in the government. But we have local actions happening in Hamilton, such as the picket tomorrow at the constituency office of MP David Sweet. And, of course, we'll be giving more details on that later in the program. But I wanted to talk about just the reaction to this in the peace movement generally, and especially the broader organizing initiatives that are occurring in order to bring Galloway so that he can finally speak in Toronto and Mississauga as scheduled. And I understand there was a press conference that the CPA was involved in this morning, and this would be the latest news we can bring to our listeners. So could you tell us what occurred at this press conference?
Well, it was a press conference that was held at on Parliament Hill today, and there was a significant amount of coverage. We had, hundreds of news stories that came out of the press conference. Olivia Chow from the NDP was one of the people who spoke. We also had representatives from the Bloc Québécois and a lawyer who's working in Ottawa specifically on the case around Galloway as well spoke. And specifically what it was doing was outlining some of the sort of the next steps in the strategy. We're looking at two different angles on this. One, of course, is there is an ongoing legal campaign and a legal challenge that's being developed, and there is also, of course, the ongoing political campaign. The two of them tie in quite nicely, and so the press conference was the one that was held this morning.
Now, to what degree would you say the media has been demonstrating interest in this? I mean, I gave two phone interviews today to the Hamilton media. There seemed to be interest here, and the Hamilton media was wondering if there was enough interest nationally or in the other media. Do you find that there's sufficient interest in this topic?
Yeah, in fact, we're seeing an incredible amount of interest. the press conference itself ended up being, one of the top stories on Google News for a number of hours today. We've been getting calls in and sort of responses from people, in fact, all over the world, taking a look at this question. It's really quite astounding and has become something of an international incident in the sense that, we've never heard anything like this. It's unprecedented that a sitting British Member of Parliament would be denied entry to another Commonwealth country. And so it's being picked up all over the world.
Wow. Have you had access to any opinion polls on this?
I haven't actually seen any polls yet. I mean, things have been moving very, very quickly, so it's difficult to know exactly what's going on. But what we've seen that I think is quite interesting around the opinions is that even people who generally are supporters of Stephen Harper and Jason Kenney have in fact been openly saying that they think Galloway should be allowed to speak in this country. We got there's an article, for example, that came in from the Canadian Free Press, which is usually sort of a right-wing organization, but at the same time, what they're saying is, even though they disagree with George Galloway's opinions on any of a number of things, you cannot, in fact, ban a sitting British Member of Parliament from coming into the country. And the other thing, of course, that is coming up now, more so than in the first couple of days after this, is that there's some big questions about exactly how this whole thing came about. Who knew what and when? What was the interference, for example, the political interference that came from the Conservative government? And those sorts of questions are also continuing to fuel the debate.
My goodness. I'm just thinking in terms of the reaction you mentioned from several Conservative commentators.
Yeah.
We were just saying on the program, it's been the case that even people not predisposed to agree with Galloway's positions have been writing in the Toronto Star or the Globe and Mail as columnists saying we have to let Galloway speak. Certainly, I think it's difficult to take a position that you're in favor of freedom of speech and then try to deny that freedom of speech. Now, there still is the matter of bringing Galloway physically to Canada. Do you think it will be possible to do that in the time frame that you had originally proposed? I mean, there's now a legal challenge, right? So what do you have to do to get Galloway in the country?
Well, the legal challenge is actually that was launched. There was a number of different things that are part of this, one of which is an injunction on the ban, which would be sort of an immediate stop to the ban, which would, in fact, allow Galloway potentially to be able to get through the border on Monday to be able to continue with his tour. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is there is a call for a judicial review. The issue around the judicial review is that it could take, you know, as long as a year to be able to hear something like that, which obviously isn't going to do us much good since he's scheduled to speak on Monday. And so both of those are in the works, and we expect that the campaign around the injunction will be heard this week. So there is a possibility around that. As well, there are other proposals that have come up, and there's a plan, for example, of a caravan of members of parliament and media people and that type of thing, and reporters to be able to go down to the border and actually meet with Galloway and make an attempt to get him across the border in that way. So both of those are in the works as we speak, and we're doing whatever it is we can. In the event that we are not able to get him into the country, there is a plan to have him speak either way and broadcast his thoughts to Canadians, probably via the internet.
Maybe he'll have to yell across the border like Paul Robeson, or not yell, but I mean, he had actually invoked the idea of Paul Robeson and having to project himself into a restricted area.
Yes. Well, and we anticipate, I mean, that possibility does exist, and in fact, I think it could be quite an interesting event for us to have a big rally down near where Galloway would be yelling across the border. It's not the first time that we've done so. We actually did a rally near Fort Erie with American soldiers who have resisted the war in Iraq and have come up here to Canada speaking on one side, and veterans against the war speaking on the American side of the border. So there is a history of these sorts of cross-border rallies and events, and we may end up doing something similar to that this time around.
No, it's a shame they have to happen, but at least people are getting mobilized out there. I mean, it's my understanding now that Jason Kenney's been on somewhat of a roll, because isn't he also responsible for deporting the war resistors?
Yes, in fact, there's an emergency meeting that's happening here tonight in Toronto, specifically around that case as well. Kim Rivera, who's the first woman war resistor to come up to Canada after refusing to redeploy to Baghdad. Jason Kenney has decided that he is going to deport them as well. Once again, he keeps playing the game of saying, oh, but this is just the law, it's a question of the courts, it is a question of the Canadian Border Services Agency to be able to make these distinctions. But it's completely untrue. He has the ability to sort of stop these deportations in the event that he wanted to. But he hides behind, you know, some of these notions of the law to be able to actually hide his own political interference. And in the case of the War Resisters campaign, he has been openly and politically interfering with the campaign and with the cases themselves, standing up and speaking publicly, calling the War Resisters bogus refugees, and then denying that he knew anything about the case when actually confronted by the resistors themselves.
For people that are just tuning in, we're speaking with Sid Lacombe, director of the Canadian Peace Alliance, on the subject of George Galloway being banned from Canada. Now, Immigration Minister Jason Kenney, he's also responsible for cutting the funding to the Canadian Arab Federation.
Yes, I mean, as you say, he's on a roll. Kenney has decided that he's going to campaign very, very aggressively against any organization or any person who does not share his particular views around, in particular, the war in Afghanistan or the Middle East politics. And these are really unprecedented attacks. The attack on the Canadian Arab Federation is an attack essentially on the funding that is required for immigrant settlement programs, which these are vital services that people actually need. The vast majority of the people as well who use these aren't even necessarily Arab. They serve communities, a whole series of different diverse communities within and around the GTA in particular. And so the attack on the Canadian Arab Federation specifically because they do not share Kenney's views on specifically the situation in Israel-Palestine. I mean, it's an attempt to silence any kind of dissent. And it is really quite astounding that he's getting away with it up to this point. At the same time, he's stepping on an awful lot of different toes all at once. And the reality is that the campaigns that we're seeing being mobilized right now are really quite astounding and are bringing together people from a whole series of different backgrounds and different walks of life, all saying the same thing, that this guy really has to go. He's doing far too much sort of violence against a number of different people and different sectors of the population, and he absolutely has to go.
Well, there's been a good job mobilizing on this issue. It's my understanding his office has absolutely been inundated with calls, emails, letters, and so forth.
Yes, I mean, we've heard this from a number of people who have sent in reports saying that they've called into his office and they're no longer answering the phone anymore, and or if they are, as soon as they find out that this is somebody campaigning on either the War Resisters campaign or on the Canadian Arab Federation and or on the Galloway Band, people are being hung up on immediately. We've seen thousands of sort of emails come into the CPA office from various different people, again, working on all of these campaigns simultaneously. He's really pulling, it's interesting, he's pulling a lot of forces together in a way that he probably didn't want and or did not anticipate. But it's been quite interesting to see the way he's unifying sections of the movement in opposition to himself.
If only there were more like him. Well, if you want to get in contact with him and send him an email or phone call about his atrocious decisions, whether it be the cutting of funding to the Canadian Arab Federation, trying to deport war resistors, even though war resistors have so much support here in Canada, or, of course, banning George Galloway, they can go to, is it defendfreespeech.ca?
Yes, it is.
Defend Free Speech. So there will be information there. Okay, well, great. Well, Sid, thanks very much for sharing this information with us and giving us the latest on the attempts to ban Galloway.
Hey, no trouble at all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sid.